It's time to meet our guest on the show now, Annie Mason. There's a movie called The Elephant in the Room, which was awarded the best UK documentary at the London Independent Film Festival this year. It's being shown this Saturday at the Cube Cinema in Bristol, and it examines the impact of 9/11 on British and American culture, from the truth campaigns through to the Muslim psyche in modern Britain, and much more besides. Annie is actually used to work for the intelligence service. She's an ex-MI5 counterintelligence officer, and she's going to be doing a bit of a talk about the movie to kind of put it in context a bit. And I'm pleased to say she joins us now. Annie, very good morning to you. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning.
How much is spin and how much is the truth, do you think?
What, in the mainstream media generally?
Yeah.
Well, I know, you know, many, many journalists myself because of the whistleblowing years when I left MI5, and there are very many decent people trying to get at the truth and trying to hold our governments and our authorities to account. However, there are also mechanisms whereby these people can manipulate the news. I'm sure we all remember the dark arts referred to by Alistair Campbell, the government's former spin doctor. But in terms of the intelligence agencies particularly, there are more malign ways they can manipulate our perception of the truth in the media. They have a section in MI6, which is a sort of James Bond organisation, called Information Operations, or IOPS, which is there specifically to place false stories in the news and to massage other stories to their benefit.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You do, and we've argued on this programme in the past, that you do kind of sometimes feel that we are, rightly or wrongly, being kept in a state of fear in this country, and the same for America as well, in order to justify some of the things that we do.
Very much so, yes. I mean, this unending war on terror is just a very nebulous concept with no real basis in fact. I mean, this is another spin-off from 9/11, and one of the issues that is addressed by the film The Elephant in the Room, which looks at how they try and artificially increase our perception of the threat we face from terrorism in this country and abroad in order to erode our basic human rights in this country and our traditional freedoms.
But interestingly, you could argue, and those who don't go along with that argument could say, but yes, look at what happened at 9/11, look at what happened here with the London bus bombings, for example, and tube bombings. There is definitely a real threat there.
There is a threat from terrorism. There always has been. I mean, let's bear in mind that in the 80s and 90s, the IRA were putting bombs down virtually at will on British streets. At that point, for example, there was a huge, long-drawn-out debate about whether we should incarcerate terrorist suspects without charge for up to 7 days, because that was seen as an infringement of their civil liberties. Now, of course, we've just had the 42-day limit passed. And I was following that as well as it went through Parliament, and it was very interesting because the head of the Metropolitan Police, the most senior policeman in the country, Sir Ian Blair, went in to the Joint Committee, which was tasked to investigate whether we needed to increase from 28 to 42 days, and he was caught out misleading, as it's called in Parliament, the Joint Committee. He was saying, well, you know, MI5 and the Met have foiled 12 terrorist plots since 7/7. And then he had to make a grovelling apology through Associated Press to all the British media, saying he had unwittingly misled the MPs because, in fact, they'd only foiled five.
Right.
Now, you know, if that hadn't been leaked from somewhere within the police or the intelligence agencies that Ian Blair had lied, they would have had to take on trust what the most senior policeman was saying, which was double the real threat. So I think we need to always to try and hold these people to account and keep an open mind and not fall for the sort of media hysteria around this. And particularly, you mentioned this comes from 9/11, for example. There are many, many people, very senior people around the planet, you know, statesmen, whistleblowers, government administrators, scientists, survivors, family members, eyewitnesses, who all say, at the very least, the official account of 9/11 does not add up.
Well, we actually chatted on this programme last year, I think it was, to the caretaker of the of one of the towers, who was there when the explosions happened, and he very much believes, although other people have poo-pooed the idea, that these were deliberate explosions from the basement of the building. So there's a whole lot of stuff on that.
He's actually the subject of the film, The Elephant in the Room.
Right.
Not the subject, he's involved in it, certainly to a large extent.
William Rodriguez. That's it. And a very compelling story it is when he tells it, I have to say. I mean, he was here with us live in the studio telling us the story, and certainly what he says was certainly very believable, although, as I said, others have poo-pooed and said it's nonsense. But then, you know, he was there, we weren't, I guess. The other thing that's happened in America, of course, is the Patriot Act, which is single-handedly taken away a whole bunch of people's human rights. It's just been the start of doing that. And we've kind of seen something similar happen here, not to the same extent, I would suggest, but because I think we're a little bit more cynical about things than the Americans. this is a real worry, isn't it? That underneath all this, what's going on is that people's personal freedoms are gradually being eroded.
Very much so. You know, all these basic human rights were put in place pretty much after the Second World War, when people wanted to ensure that there could never be another Holocaust, that people could never be treated in an inhuman, degrading way, that we had basic rights to privacy, the right to life, not to be tortured. And these were seen as core to any civilization. And I think we've had such a long period of peace between the Second World War and the beginning of the Middle Eastern problems now, that people have really forgotten why it's so important. And it's not just about rights, it's a contract. It should be a contract between state and citizen. Rights and responsibilities. And it seems at the moment as if the governments are going for a power grab. They are taking away these rights that our forefathers fought for over, you know, decades, centuries. And I think we need to draw a line in the sand now and say, look, enough is enough. We are British. We are used to a notion of democracy and freedom and basic rights. And we do not want to give those away anymore. In fact, we should try and fight to restore some of the rights that have been taken away from us in the name of protecting us in this war on terror.
One of the other fears, of course, is that it hasn't actually ended yet. I mean, there was a news story today suggesting that Israel has carried out an exercise that appears to have been a rehearsal for an attack on Iran's nuclear facilities. More than 100 Israeli fighter jets, reported in the news today, took part in manoeuvres over the eastern Mediterranean and over Greece in the first week of June, according to US officials. And you get the feeling, from what Bush has said as well in the past, that before he gets out of office, Iran is very much on the list. And that's kind of concerning as well for many people, I think.
It's frightening. It's frighteningly concerning. I mean, Bush has declared his intention over the years of going into Iran. And, of course, everyone says, well, it's for the oil in Iran. But it's also because Iran has begun to trade its oil in euros and other currencies, not just the dollar, which, of course, could really undermine an already weak American economy. But, yes, again, it's something that you can sort of trace in the news. A couple of months ago, the head of MI6, Sir John Scarlett, he of the dodgy dossier fame, went out and met the head of Mossad, which is the Israeli embassy, Israeli intelligence agency, right, in Israel. And they said, oh yes, it's just a routine meeting. But in fact, what came out of it was Mossad was saying they had very good intelligence to show that Iran was still developing its nuclear capability for weapons. Now, at the end of last year, there was something called the National Intelligence Estimate that came out in the States. And this was the combined thinking of 16 American intelligence agencies, and they said their assessment was that Iran had stopped developing nuclear weapons in 2003. Now, this would have been a wonder, of course, if they were developing this program, then possibly at some point there might have been some sort of pretext for some sort of action. I don't agree with that either, but Mossad is now saying we've got intelligence which contradicts the intelligence agencies around the world that, that the Iranians are developing this weapon system. So we have the intelligence agencies meeting. About a month later, we saw the president and the prime minister of Israel meeting as well, and suddenly other politicians are getting on the act. They are artificially ramping up this threat as a pretext to go into Iran and grab the oil and build more military bases in the Middle East.
If you just join us, by the way, Annie Mashlin is my guest. We're talking about a movie called Elephant in the Room, which is being shown this coming Saturday at the Cube Cinema in Bristol. What's the main kind of scope of this movie then? What kind of areas does it cover specifically?
It's made by a young British filmmaker called Dean Puckett, and he took an interest in the what's called the 9/11 Truth Movement last year. Now, as I said, there are many, many eminent people around the world who are just questioning the basic official account, including the two people who chaired and co-chaired the commission inquiry into 9/11 who say they didn't get to the truth. So he took an interest into why many people are now questioning this and decided to make a film about this movement and why people are concerned and the social issues around it. And then he ended up interviewing people like the former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, who has questioned these issues. He did an interview with William Rodriguez when he was over here. He's the survivor from the Twin Towers you mentioned earlier, and in fact went on tour with him around Europe, filming him as he went and watching the response to him. He did a variety of different interviews with various truth activists, and then he went to America and he stayed in New York and he met the first responders, the heroes of the day, who went in and helped to rescue people who'd been buried when the buildings collapsed. Now, these people, 62,000 of them, are now seriously ill. Well over 100 are now dead because they breathed in contaminated air with little protection that day. Right. And the reason they did this was because the Environmental Protection Agency in the US lied to them about the quality of the air. Now, this has come out. There are court cases against the EPA, and the EPA is saying it did that on instructions from the American administration. So, at the very least, there is an awful, awful lie and an awful, awful cover-up on that front around 9/11. So, Dean Puckett had access to some of these guys, and their stories are heartbreaking. You know, they were in there working 24 hours a day trying to save their fellow human beings who were buried alive underneath these buildings, and they received no protection, and they've received no help since they become ill because they were lied to about the air quality that day. So it's a very powerful, emotional film, but it's also looking at why people are still concerned about these issues. As I said, you know, the war on terror, erosion of our freedoms.
Does it come to any conclusions as to the actual jets crashing into the buildings and whether it was, as we, you know, it was a terrorist act, whether it was known about, it was planned, it was something else? Does it look into that area?
Certainly the interviews with people like Cynthia McKinney and William Rodriguez and other eyewitnesses, there was a man called Scott Forbes who worked in the towers and witnessed the attacks that day, who has grave concerns about a power down, the weekend before 9/11, where anything could have happened to the buildings. He just doesn't know. So they're very strong interviews, just questioning the basic assumptions. But no, Dean is an impartial filmmaker and just wants to say, look, these are very credible people. They have very deep concerns about what we've been told, what happened that day, and leaves us to make up our own minds and go out and do some research ourselves. Don't believe what we read in the mainstream media.
I think that's the interesting part about this, isn't it? And when you do start to delve into a lot of these areas and you look at, and very often it can be little stories tucked away in the corner of a newspaper where it's only three or four lines, but it kind of awakens something in you and you think, hang on, that's not quite right. Why were we told about that? And all these little things add up. And of course, those who don't go along with conspiracy theories will say, well, yeah, but let's be honest, it's dead easy to make a conspiracy theory about anything.
Well, I think conspiracy theory is a term that's become very mainstream now as a sort of pejorative phrase to insult anyone who questions anything that isn't mainstream. I mean, let's face it, on 9/11 there was a conspiracy. And there are many theories about who committed those conspiracies. I mean, was it 19 people in a cave, you know, 19 pilots being controlled by a man in a cave in Tora Bora, or was it someone else? Now, my position would always be, we just don't know, but because there are so many questions, and because even the people who were tasked with investigating 9/11 now say they didn't get to the truth, we should insist on a new independent international inquiry.
But the thing is, though, I would imagine the chances of that happening are pretty much zilch, aren't they?
I don't think so. I mean, there is a growing body of people around the world who are questioning this. As I said, it does include statesmen, former prime ministers of places like Malaysia. Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela, has been questioning it. An MP called Yuki Fujito, who's leader of the opposition in Japan, has been raising questions in parliament there. We've even had an MP in this country, Michael Meacher, asking questions. I would urge your listeners to go to a website called patriotsfor911truth.org and have a look, because there are hundreds of people of this calibre with access to inside information saying, look, we need new independent inquiry. So as this grows and as people react against the sort of overarching, you know, war on terror and power grab that's also affecting all our daily lives because of 9/11, I think there is a chance we may get a new independent inquiry.
That will be interesting. Well, the movie, as we mentioned, is showing this Saturday, the 5th of July, at the Cube Cinema, which is, it's just opposite Broadmead, isn't it, the Cube Cinema? It's right in the centre of Bristol, I think.
It is. It's on Dove Street South, and I think the doors open at 3:30, and the event starts at 4.
And there's two showings, isn't there? One in the afternoon, one in the evening?
Yeah, and there's also music in the evening as well. The Cube Cinema is a very, very cool venue. I've been there before.
Okay.
Nice little bar, big good music, and the film is a cracking film. I urge everyone to go and see it.
All right, and tickets are available on the door, or you can get them in advance as well.
Yeah.
And you'll be there giving a bit of a talk to kind of put it in perspective a bit as well.
I hope to be, yes. Certain personal issues may prevent me, but there will be other speakers there as well.
There's other speakers as well.
Yeah, so it's going to be a cracking event.
All right, Annie, many thanks for joining us this morning. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.